Good evening, White Sox fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Future Sox Podcast, Hot Takes and Haters. Today is Wednesday, February 4th, and as always, my name is Danny Miller. My co-host as always, as you see on your screen and you'll be here tickling your eardrums, is the illustrious and most ever popular and I don't know, just interesting man, Jacob Thome. How you doing, Jake?
That was, I think, the best intro I will ever receive, so I appreciate it.
I had to pull something out of you to get more than just hanging in there. As you said last week, it's usually your go-to.
It's a good go-to, and it works very often. So, we're doing good. We're hanging in there. Had to make sure I had to get – I at least have to get it in once. No, we're doing good.
Right. Well, you know, for our listeners who were hanging out with us last week and the week before when we introduced our bingo card idea, and we had on Adrian White of Future Sox, our rising star and up-and-coming blogger, we are continuing that I guess you would call it our podcast series here for the next coming weeks until we get into the regular season. But the idea is we wanted to have a bingo card. You know, when you hear people say, you know, something happens, you're like, wow, didn't have that on my bingo card for today. Where Jake came up with the thought, like, why don't we go ahead and do that? Like, let's put a bingo card together for everybody to follow along with and just have a good time with it. And when something does come up, you know, we can kind of talk about that, right? So we are actually really happy to bring in our next guest and the second in that bingo card installment to, talk some White Sox baseball and bullshit with us a little bit and also give us his addition to that bingo card. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my friend of the show. He is one of White Sox Twitter's biggest personalities out there. If you are a fan of From the 108 podcast, you will know, contrary to popular belief, he is not the porn guy. He is our very good friend, the illustrious Mr. My Sox Summer.
What is going on, fellas? Jacob, I don't think we've ever met, so nice to meet you virtually.
Nice to meet you as well. Yeah. Over the airwaves, as they say.
I'm glad you're hanging in there. Danny said you would be hanging in there. The microphone being right over your mouth, I don't know like what your like what your reaction is. I only see the eyes, so I'm just reading eyebrows right now. So I don't know if you're gonna laugh at something or not. So that's gonna be hard for me. So that'll be fun. That'll keep me on my edge. Luckily,
I don't have a mouth.
You don't have a mouth? No. Oh no.
Just kind of, actually, there's no nose either. Like the nostrils, not there. So it's just eyes, eyebrow, and facial structure. There was an incident with a squirrel back in the 90s. Don't ask.
Oh man.
Oh Lord.
Was it a brown squirrel or a gray squirrel?
Gray.
That's the thing. Those gray squirrels, they're man eaters.
You guys ever seen the black ones?
Yes.
Oh man, I never saw one until I went to boot camp, and they're running around all over the place up there at Great Lakes Naval Station. It's quite interesting. It was a very, I don't know, man. Growing up on the South Side, I never saw a black squirrel, and then there they were. So I was like, what the hell is that thing, dude? Like,
yeah, they're out west too. They're just all over the place.
I was going to introduce you as the guy from out west tonight, but I decided to go with not the porn guy.
Well, you know, I've been back here for 16 years, so it's like I've kind of laid off the "I used to live out west" refrain that I would do in every podcast. But I will drop every once in a while. I don't know if you guys know, I used to live in California and then drop about, you know, say something. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Oh fuck! This fat fucks in the comments already. Oh, can we cuss on this? I didn't ask.
Yeah, no, you're good, brother.
I wasn't sure. Like our show is very triple X rated.
Ian's rated. Our producer is working in the background to fix I couldn't fix with that frame. So
I was like, oh no, did I just hit something with my hand?
No, you're good. You're good.
So I'm going to have call Beefalo fat every time he makes a comment. So that's what I do.
Yeah, and I saw that on Twitter. Was that yesterday? I was like, that's, or maybe it was this morning. I don't know. So it was a little harsh, but if you've ever really paid attention to any of the 108 shows, it's pretty much expected at this point. And you guys are able to get away with that with each other. You guys have been friends for so long. I know I gave Beef a hard time a few years ago when he went up against Ian in the 108 tournament. I might have took some liberties, fighting for my guy to, hopefully get past the OG of the 108. I was a little harsh. I said some things that maybe I was like, was that too much? No. So, it was all in good fun. And, Beef and I joke about it now, but there is no beef between us. So
that's good. Yeah. He's a very good guy. Contrary he's a good guy. His brother is the biggest dick. Creasy is definitely the biggest dick out of the two. So Jacob, one time you got to show up, man, and you'll meet all these people and you'll be like, dude, these guys are lunatics, and I understand exactly what that is.
I 100% agree. Stuck down here in central Illinois in the middle of nowhere, so one of these times it'll happen, and looking forward to it.
Sweet.
Awesome. All bullshit aside, though, we should probably get into, we only usually typically do about an hour, and I'm not going to lie, I do have plans for after the show, so when we're
you done, got plans?
Like, yeah, buddy, I'm going out, man.
Awesome.
On a Wednesday night. It's
that's good.
It's the perks of not having children as a 50-year-old man, and, unfortunately, not having a gainful employment at the moment either, so.
Oh, man.
No, it's all good. I'm actually working on some things behind the scenes. I'm hoping to have a business up and running here in the next year or two. So
there you go.
But we'll get into that further down the road. I don't want to put too much out there about
that.
But that's the plan. So, obviously, being that it is now the first week of February, White Sox Fest was this past weekend. And I posted in our teaser that the White Sox Fest hangover was going to be on the agenda this evening. And for me, actually, because, Jake and I didn't actually get a chance to go to White Sox Fest, I actually was not completely devoid of Sox Fest weekend activities and spent the evening with you guys.
Yeah.
I.e. the 108 and all your guests over at Reggie's on Saturday night. And there may have been a hangover involved on Sunday morning after that one. So I'm sure that I walked out of there probably in a lot better shape than most people and had a better Sunday than a lot of people because I didn't stay the entire night. Mm-hmm. I think once the show was over, I was probably only there for about, 45 minutes or so.
Right.
You and I and some of the other folks that were there had a round of shots and cheers with each other. And I think I slipped out the door. I kind of did the Irish goodbye and disappeared after that. But I saw what was coming. And, obviously the show is called Hot Takes and Heaters for multiple reasons. And one of those reasons is I'm the guy who loves to chain smoke on air. So I do have a little bit of a suggestive personality, and I know that. So when I felt what was happening starting to happen, I had to dip.
Yep.
I can't trust myself to show any restraint. So after that shot and starting to catch a buzz, I was like, you know what? I drove my truck here, and I really don't want to leave it parked overnight on the street on Wabash. So deuces, So
he was never seen again.
No. So really quickly, I guess before we get into the 108 after party, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about some of your favorite takes from Sox Fest. Like I said, I know Jake and I didn't get an opportunity to go, but this stuff's been all over Twitter. And Jacob, and actually talking to two Jacobs here. So
yeah,
I need to specify. When I'm talking to my Jake, I'll call him Jacob. I'll just call you. Yeah, I'm just going to call you MSS for the rest of the night.
Or you say 108 guy.
That guy. Jacob, of all the things that you've seen from Sox Fest over the last, 4 or 5 days here now, what was your favorite moment? What have you kind of gotten a chance to take a look at and Yeah, what did you think? What did you take away from it?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting observing from afar, as I did. But I thought it was cool. I mean, I heard mixed reviews, most of them positive, though. So that's always good. And in terms of, like, what was actually said, like, it was kind of interesting because it all comes out that, like, Getz is going to make another move, and then he makes another move. So that kind of killed the excitement of – shouldn't say kill the excitement, but it kind of – there's no more moves to be made, potentially. Yeah, we'll get into that later. That felt like the imminent move that he was talking about. But really, I think the star of the show was Tanner McDougal, from what I saw. And that's kind of fun because I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, I'm excited to see him. If he can break camp, I've talked about it a little bit. You know, I think it's going to be a jump. But having a guy like that as a fan favorite is always always a good time. And he certainly seems primed to be one of those guys.
Awesome. And, you know, since you were there, MSS, yeah. I'm sure you probably had a pretty good seat for Tanner McDougal. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that Tanner? Wasn't Tanner McDougal? I'm sorry. It was. Is it Kyle Teal playing the guitar on stage?
Well, so yeah, I guess that happened. We were upstairs like Friday. So Friday night's, you know, season ticket holder event, and people get a little like, oh, if we stay in here, this might happen. If we stay in here, this might happen. And I'm with my girls. I got a 9 and a 7 year old, and this was their first like real big experience. They had like stood outside last year at the exit where the players were leaving on the last day of the year, and they got ball signed by like Vargas and Will Venable and other players, but they were very much wanting a Chase Meidroff and a Colson Montgomery autograph ball, which did not happen. So we were like, okay, well, we'll do it at Sox Fest. And they're like, can we go? And then luckily, you know, we know some people, so we got some extra seats and or extra tickets. And so we're up there, and there are people like, well, we're waiting in line because players are going to come up here. And they did, but they were on the other side, and they wouldn't sign for anybody. So we're like, you know, let's go downstairs. So I think while the band was playing, and that's when Kyle came out and played, we were stage right or stage left. We were to the right of the stage, looking at the stage, right? So we're there, and we know where the play, 'cause you know the players are coming out right there, and guys that are in the organization are up coming up to us and saying, stay here. You want to stay here. This is where you want to be. And so girls got everything they wanted autographed. They got to meet all their players. We walked in with Chris Getz. Chris Getz gave them t-shirts, you know. That's cool. Everybody gave them t-shirts because there's two young girls standing there, and they're just like, boom, boom, every time they came out. And we're just turning around and giving them to other people because they're like, we don't need 19 Sox Fest shirts in medium or XL. You know, like, we don't need
them. 7-year-old and 9-year-old.
We need two. Right? We need two, and that's it, you know. But also the food's coming out in the same area, you know, so that was nice. I saw this fest. I've been to the old Sox Fest. I've been to the last 2 years at the new Sox Fest. Last year, I had no expectations whatsoever for Sox Fest of anything. And I didn't go for autographs. I used that as a networking session and talked to a lot of people. And that was what we did. This time, I was like, I'm going to see this through the eyes of my daughters. I want them to enjoy it and see what happens. And they had a hell of a time. The Sox did it right for the young fans. They came over with – they had a Sam Inanochi jersey and a John Sheriffin jersey. Like, the kids – like the White Sox staff by the end of the night, like everyone had left, and my kids are running around like, because there's free beer, and I'm not leaving when there's free beer. So I'm drinking Blue Moons, and then like they come over with these freaking, you know, event used jerseys, and I was like, what in the hell is going on? Where did you get that? First off, they're like, somebody just gave it to us, and I was like, well, you just got your first authentic MLB jersey at 7 and 9 years old. Like, that's just ridiculous. So it was set up for them. They had a good time, and I understand why the old heads get mad, because you used to be able to have an autograph fest for like $35, you know, and you had all day, and you were just jabbing with other Sox fans. It was crusty, it was stinky, and it was like, it was just fun. Like, you got down in the, like, the dirt of baseball. So that part of it, I understand why people miss that, but it's just new. It's different. So you can't expect that from these events. It's more of a fun thing. Like I said, we got 8 autographs, for God's sakes. I mean, we weren't walking away empty-handed. Like, if you wanted it, you got it. You just had to work for it. So a little different. But as far as, like, we were there for media on Saturday, and I agree, dude, 100%. the Tanner McDougal experience is going to be one hell of an experience. That guy is electric. He was full of energy. Friday night, he's over there signing people's, you know, shit over in the corner, and he's talking to people and they're just taking pictures, and he is just, if I didn't know better, I'd have been like, this guy is on the best cocaine that is available in the Chicago area, because he was just so excited to be there. And this is something that I saw with Colson last year. He's happy to be here. He's happy to talk to these fans. And we haven't had a lot of those players recently. Andrew Vaughn hated talking to anybody that he didn't have to. Okay, so you didn't have that. Paul Konerko, love Paul Konerko, but not the biggest chatter. Harold Baines doesn't talk to people. You know, like we had Ron Kittle, and then you'd get like a guy, Daniel Palka will show up and who's happy and will sign and talk to you till you don't want to talk to him anymore. So it's nice that these kids are taking advantage of the situation and are happy and are talking to everybody. And Tanner fit that bill. I think the organization, now if you go on the other side, we interviewed a bunch of people too, like you guys did. They understand where we as a podcast can get their message out to different people that are not necessarily on their mailing list. And people listen to us maybe a little bit differently than they would a Scott Merkin, you know, who's like a basically a team employee, not really, but you know, is basically doing the bidding for the team, right? So if they treat us nice and they throw a couple free beers our way and we're nice, then we tell our, you know, hundreds, thousands of listeners, they're like, oh, well, shit, maybe the Sox are back. So I feel like they've recognized that now and are using that to their advantage. And the vibe, Danny over there and Jacob, the last, like, I've been at media days for years. The vibe at 35th and Shields the last three seasons has totally flipped. And in the middle of the year last year, I know you guys saw it, in the middle, like second half of that season, that was a whole different team. It's a whole different team than was the play in the beginning. Whole different team from 2024. The win didn't equate to like a ton of wins, but it was fun baseball. And that's what we're here for. We're here to watch good right. baseball and enjoy it. And those little fuckers, man, they play through the whistle. B-Flow says it all the time. They play through the whistle every time and did not quit. We had our bobblehead night on September 16th, and I think they were down like, I don't know, 6-0 in the third. And we're like, this game's over. They lost by 2. They lost like 6-8. Like, that's just ridiculous talk. Like, that never would have happened 2 years ago.
No, 2 years ago, they were falling flat on their face and probably giving up 3 more runs in the ninth.
Yeah, so that's a long-winded way for me to say that Sox Fest was fucking awesome. And the old people that were like, oh, it's not like it was, I'm not going. Well, then you don't really enjoy these like type of events. And I get it. Go pay for your autographs. Go pay $35, you know, or $75 a pop to get Colson Montgomery somewhere. Or go and just enjoy the time. The other stuff that Sox Fest was hanging out with people and just having fun. People used to complain back in those days too. So it's like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I thought it was a great time.
Awesome. Awesome. And you know, and I appreciate all of what you had to say there, because I do think it is important for Sox fans to kind of get a feel that it's not just about what the product on the field is doing. Obviously, you know, if you're a casual, that's all you're paying attention to, and that's mm-hmm. fine. You know, I'm not here to tell anybody how to fan, right?
Right.
You fan however you want to fan. But for those of us who, you know, are kind of, you know, guys like us who are in the trenches every day, you know, we're grinding it out doing these podcasts week after week, and, you know, we're watching terrible ball clubs, and it's I'm not going to lie. I mean, we went through some difficult times, Jacob and I. You know, I had a couple of weeks last year where I was like, do we even want to go on? Do we want to go live? And then things kind of start to turn around, you know, yeah. and you start to feel better about what's going on. So I think everything you said there is it's important for folks to know. If you're not seeing it, hopefully you will start to see it soon, because you're not seeing it just because you might be a little jaded. And I can't blame you for that.
Yeah.
You know, for everything that we've been through over the last few years. And I don't spend too much time on Sox Fest. You know, obviously we've got a lot of real baseball stuff to get into here tonight, but I did want to ask, God, and I just had that fleeting thought just go. It's fairy dust. It's gone.
It's okay. It'll come back to you. I'm not going anywhere. You know? You're good.
Well, so I guess we'll kind of move on then, because I didn't want to talk to you. Oh, you know, I know what it was. And this kind of ties into, you know, what happened at the 108 after party on Saturday mm-hmm. night. You bring up how the vibe has changed at 35th Street. And it's not just, you know, the product on the field. It's the way the Sox have kind of operated as a whole. You know, promotions have gotten better. I feel like, you know, they're trying to do things to, you know, kind of help the fan outside of, you know, maybe security fixes at the gate. We can get the gate moving a little bit quicker. But outside of that, I think things have been kind of, you know, on promotion days anyway. I think I'll just be honest with you. There have been times where I've been hard on Brooks Boyer about mm-hmm. some of this stuff. And I've been vocal about it. You know, nobody's paying me. You know, it is what it is. I get emotional about my team. Yeah. And partially it's because, you know, I've been a fan for so long and I'm passionate about what I see. And, you know, sometimes that emotion comes out. But Brooks came and he was the first guest at the 108 after yeah. party on Saturday night. And I got to tell you, he said a lot of things that made me feel like, you know, not only am I starting to see these changes as a fan, that there's more on the horizon. They do have big plans. And he does really care about the fans and fan experience. And he just seems like an all around nice dude. So I would like to at least retract some of my statements about how I have. Well, maybe not retract, but I just want to say that I've been hard on the guy and I'm here to give him an opportunity again. And I'm seeing the change. But the other thing was John Triffin was also there.
Yeah.
And he made a point that kind of goes with all of this. And it's, you know, he comes out to these events. He's been at the last couple of 108 That's after cool. parties. He's been yeah. rubbing elbows with everybody. He comes out yep. to all the tailgates. We've all had an opportunity to speak and talk with him. And he doesn't just come out for one tailgate and like spend like 5 minutes out there to say, hey, I was there, and be the guy that's just, I showed my face and now I'm going to leave. Like, no, he's out there and he's eating burgers and he's eating whatever food's out there and he's hobnobbing with everybody. Yep. And he said on the stage the other night that it's, you know, the one thing we all have to remember is that we're all here for the same reason. We're all White Sox fans. We all want to be part of that White Sox family. And I think that's what we need to remember. And, you know, give him all the hell you want about the roar or whatever.
Yeah. But
the guy comes in a time when the team is awful and he's trying to, you know, make his place in White Sox television. And he's got to try to amp up a fan base that's had a lot of disappointment over the last few years and a bunch of 100 lost seasons. So, I mean, like, I got to give the dude credit, you know. Maybe some of his stuff falls a little short, and that's fine. The fact of the matter is he's actually a pretty down-to-earth dude.
Yeah.
And if you ever get a chance to run into him, if you guys are listening, whether it's here on live or, you know, in podcast form later on, come out to the tailgates. It's blasted all over Twitter. It's all over the socials all year long. They have multiple tailgates. The Bums put on a hell of a show. Yeah.
Chicago which, by sports the way, Bums. Yep. They're
which, by the way, we do have a couple of those guys. We're going to have them scheduled to come on as guests nice. As part of this bingo card later on. But, man, just check it out. And you'll see, like, John's a good dude, and he's going to be out there. And, you know, he'll be happy to talk with you and shake hands yeah. with you. I mean, just shoot the shit. He's just one of those dudes. You know, and he wants to be, you know, he's a fan first. He wants to be part of that. So,
yeah, it was I mean, like, listen, Danny, you said a lot there, and it's true. It's hard for him. Like, it was hard for him to come in and prove himself as an announcer. First off, you have two strikes against you. People don't like you, and people don't like the White Sox, right? Or you're replacing Jason Benetti. So people don't even know who you are. You're replacing a legend, you know, in a lot of people's minds. And then you're also – the team is just – suffered like a horrible like rebuild that we just came out of, and here he is, and then they go on to lose the most games in MLB history, recent MLB history, and he's trying to do something to show his boss, listen, I'm still good at this, so I have to do some things to make it look like I'm doing something. And people took that some of the wrong way. It's like, well, you got to read the room and not have as much energy. Yeah, but like, dude, there's only like, what, 26 of these jobs? So like, you're not going to get a ton of chances to prove it. And I think he was overboard.
Is there even 26 now? I mean, we got nine. We got nine teams that don't have RSNs right now.
I think it's more than that. I think, yeah, you think you're like at 18?
Yeah, it's just insane. It's crazy. So he had to do something. And I think he was smart. He embraced the tailgate culture and has fun with the fans, and he's getting in there. Now we'll get lit up on Reddit, you know, and say, oh, you guys just hang out with him because he'll have a beer with you and you're nice to him because he'll drink with you. And it's like, well, you know, somewhat, you know, I it's harder to hate somebody when you know the person, but also to see how unfairly some people can get treated in Chicago media. And know people that get lambasted by Chicago media and know the full story behind the scenes and know what they're not talking about is pretty interesting. So, like,
he's just a genuine down-to-earth dude on top of it all.
Like, he's a nice guy.
You know, people clown him, and he's not a clown, dude. He's like, he's more than happy. He doesn't know me from Adam.
Yeah.
But he spent 5 minutes talking with me the other night. Like, he was one of my best friends just because he recognizes that we're all Sox fans. You know what I mean? Like, he's just genuinely there. And he wants to be there. He wants to be a part of it. This isn't just like, hey, it's my job.
Yeah, right? And as like a play-by-play guy, like, it's hard not to be a fan. Like, it's your job. You have to go follow the team for 162 games. Like, of course, you're going to have like extra rooting interest in that because you're covering it. Like, you have to be there. You're contractually obligated to be there 162 games. So I think there's like a different level for him where like you almost want to like talk it into existence.
Yeah. And that's a
great
point. You want to put your best foot forward, Jacob. That's just, you know, you want to make it look good at all times. So it's hard. It's hard coming into that set. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, Danny. I'm glad you enjoyed those shows because those are stressful for us because we, you know, we have a $5,000 minimum bar that we have to cover. Which
it probably got crushed if I could tell by the way the crowd it got was
crushed. we did not have to put any extra of our money onto the bar tab to equal $5,000, so that was good. And you know, getting these people to secure to come in, you know, we've wanted Brooks on for years, but there's never been like a good reason to bring him on. And then this year was just perfect because you got this guy coming from, you know, over in Japan, and it's like, what are you going to do to market this guy and show off this guy and not waste these 2 years that you have, you know, and to get more fans, you know? And he was talking about it, you know, he's building up over there and you see more and more Sox hats everywhere and people on social media wearing more Sox hats in Japan. And it's just like, it's a whole thing. We had two people from Tokyo sitting next to us at Sox Fest that they didn't know any, I don't think they knew any English at all, but they had bags full of White Sox stuff. And we gave them a couple, two, three shirts to take home with them. And then a bunch of 108 stuff too. We were like, hey, you know, come through. So it's cool that you get these, you get a new chance now too. And we talked with John about that too. What are you going to do with potentially a whole new audience, you know, a whole new worldwide audience? What are you going to say? And he's like, yeah, it's just telling the story that is over here on the South side. So I thought that was great. John is well-spoken. Brooks is well-spoken. My rideshare buddy, dad, he was there and he goes, you had to have prepped Brooks on these questions. And I was like, I gave him two questions. I told him two things I was going to ask, but I didn't say I was going to ask it. I'm like, I'm going to do these two things. So he was ready for two things. After that, he didn't know anything that was coming at him.
No, yeah. And I mean, he was shooting from the cuff, and it was genuine.
Yeah.
And you know, he answered some hard questions. Like, it, you know, so I mean, yeah, maybe not super hard, but he gave some genuine answers to things when it came down to, like, when you talk about Murakami and the money and the owner that – I mean, he was asked, why do you have to be in the room to ask the owner to spend $34 million on a guy
yeah.
that everybody else thought was going to get, you know, 150 or more for a longer, you know, extension, longer contract.
Yeah.
And he was very down to earth in his answers, and he put it out there. And, you know, I know that he gave us the whole, well, you know, do you go out and buy a Mercedes without talking to your wife first? No, I got to talk to my boss. You know what I mean? But he also explained like how the money, you know, the profit that comes in.
Yep.
And how that translates to being able to spend more money later and marketing Murakami down the road, it, not just here in the States, but overseas, could be a huge, huge deal for the White Sox. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how that transpires.
Yeah.
Did you, Jacob, do you have any questions for MSS about, you know, any of that stuff at the 108 event or Sox Fest before we move on to some real baseball talk?
I don't think so. I think you hit it all.
Well, you got to come next year, Jacob.
I know. I'll try to. Bitch.
Jesus Christ. You invite me on your show and you don't even come to our events? I don't understand this. Danny's over there. I'm a recovering smoker, so I just like smelling Danny after he's coming out of a cigarette. It's awesome. It's like, man, miss ripping heaters with Danny.
Yeah, well, again, I'm the guy who likes to chain smoke on hot takes and heaters, and that was one of the questions I wanted to ask Brooks was, this is also a kind of a take on an ongoing 8-year battle of me trying to quit smoking, and I've been close many times.
It's hard.
And I blame it on the White Sox, and I was going to ask Brooks, like, what do I need to do to get a an iron lung from the White Sox for all these seasons of disappointment, but you know,
they won't even let you smoke anymore, right? They can't even go on that little patio thing.
No, but
you know,
I mean, it's probably a good thing. I mean, they're
trying to save you, Danny. They're trying to save your life.
Every time I come to a game, you know, that's 3 hours or so of, you know, time that I can't, you know, chain them up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a good thing. But, all in all, it was a great weekend. And I can't say thank you enough to you guys, to our guys for spending the time that they did down at Sox Fest during when they sat on Podcast Row and getting all those great interviews. And again, if you're listening in the podcast or you're in the room here with us live, if you guys haven't checked all that stuff out, please do. Some of those interviews are just—they're fantastic, and there's a lot of great information that you're not getting in written form or on MLB.com or, you know, or MLB, you know, Network or any of that stuff. It's not coming out there. These guys were genuine, and they were giving you some real. Some of it was hard hitting, you know, news, and there might be some feelings that the White Sox are still not done.
Yeah.
You know, just judging if you're reading between the lines in some of the interviews. So check that out, guys.
For sure.
But as, you know, now we're, as we move on here, and, you know, we spoke about it a little bit early in the show, our very own Jacob Thome, we do our hot takes and heaters every week at the end of the show, which I will ask you for one later on, MSS. So, you know, if you don't have one prepared.
Oh, I'll get there.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely figure something out. But
yep,
Jacob's go-to this year, and it continues to be his go-to because it continually works. And I know him and I both had a bunch of people in our ads this week on Twitter because it's almost baffling. Maybe it's a testament to the new direction of the White Sox, but we're gonna give Jacob his flowers on this too every week. Pardon me. Every week, Jacob's hot take is the White Sox are going to sign somebody this week. And every time he's done it, something has happened. So after last week's show, we signed off, and I think it was the day after, it was Thursday, the White Sox went out and picked up Austin Hayes, right? Yep. And then following just a couple days later, before Sox Fest was even over, we got the trade for Jordan Hicks and David Sandlin.
Yep.
So, Jacob, since you seem to be on this absolute hot streak of hot takes and the White Sox signing players, tell me a little bit about your first thoughts when you heard that the White Sox had signed Austin Hayes.
Well, first of all, it's hilarious because it's at Sox Fest and Getz can't talk about him because he's not officially signed. So it's like a hypothetical, you know, I think he brought it up as a hypothetical player, which is absolutely hilarious. He wasn't even officially signed until today. So, yeah, kind of a bizarre, just kind of how that stuff works. I wonder if they were shopping Hudson. It doesn't much matter. But, yeah, Hayes wasn't my guy, but I don't hate it. I mean, you needed an outfielder. If that's the outfielder you wanted to go to, it wasn't like there was an obvious choice for me. So, dude mashes left-handed pitching, so go for it. I don't know. I'm totally okay with the move. That's, I think, all their money, and then obviously the Hickson deal, we'll get into that. But, yeah, decent move. They needed an outfielder, and he's an outfielder. So that's kind of what it comes down to.
All right.
He's an outfielder, but he's got a little bit of power, right? And he's been sporadic with his power. But, like, you give me and let's hope. Let's hope that he's playing not just left, like he's going to play right, and Benintendi's going to still do what Benintendi does and hit 15 home runs. But if you have these two guys contributing for 30 home runs and playing left and right field, you know, like that's okay. I can take that over, you know, what we were looking at before with Tauchman, who everyone loved, but I think put the ball put it out of the park like 8 times last year. So, like, if you double the runs and you have a guy that seemingly is healthy, played 103 games last year. It used to be more, you know, he's been sporadic with his health. So hopefully he can stay healthy. You know, we've gotten good luck on some of these guys. I think he's, you know, he's not costing you a ton of money. So he's coming in to do a job. It ain't the sexiest thing, Jacob. I agree with you. It's an outfielder, and it's more of a tenured outfielder, because they have a shitload of people that can play outfield. Don't really know what their qualifications are. It's like B-Flow likes to say, the outfield chaos. There's tons of people that you can throw out there to try. You finally have one guy in there that's like, okay, he's done the job before. You know, he's like, it's like we get behind a manual transmission. He's like, well, he's driven stick before. So, like, we know he can do it. So we'll make him do it again. So I don't think it's not sexy, but it'll get the job done.
Now, and it's not sexy, but I think my take on this whole thing was, you know, I actually talked about Hayes just a hair here on the show and all over the socials a lot, just for the simple fact that, you know, I felt like after their, you know, Sir Anthony Dominguez signing, I'm like, okay, they have this money left of the $20 million that they saved from the Robert trade. And, yep. You know, I don't know if there was money left in the kitty before that guests had to spend, but we knew that 20 was out there, right? And they said that they were gonna do something with it. And
yeah,
you know, Jacob has put it out there, and we had Adrian White on last week who said the same thing. But you know, every time Grisquet says he's gonna do something, he's not one of these guys that's full of it. You know, you can expect him to actually do what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
Or what he says he's gonna do. So, you know, you knew the money was gonna kind of be spent. We might have made some jokes tongue in cheek, but we had an idea that this was not just going to be a stand pat move. And when it came down to the point of, all right, we have like this $10 million left after signing Sir Anthony Dominguez, I looked at who was available and I thought to myself, Austin Hayes kind of makes sense for the same reasons you brought up. He's got a little bit of pop. He's a guy who has played outfield. And when you look at our outfield and what our projected starting outfield was going to be before this move, you're exactly right. I mean, you had, you know, Luis Angel Acuna, who's played like just a handful of games in the outfield.
Yeah.
Was typically known as a second baseman for the most part before he, you know, he came here. And then, you know, between Brooks Baldwin, who had, you know, was learning on the fly last year.
Yep.
And you've got Andrew Benintendi, which, you know, we don't even know where he's at with this Achilles thing. And is he going to start the year on the IL? Is he going to be ready to go? Like, you know, we don't know how often he's going to be able to play. Is he going to split time because of this thing? Is it going to be a thing where, you know, he splits time because he's just better off being a DH and not trying to run around out there and give an opportunity to some of these younger guys to make the way? I don't know, but it felt like, okay, we have at least one guy who's actually done the job, as you said. And that was really my kind of takeaway from this whole thing. So I thought it was awesome. I again, kudos to Chris Getz, because you know, he's doing things that, especially this offseason, that we just did not, I don't think any of us really saw it coming this way. We were hoping, but I don't think we saw this type of offseason coming.
Definitely didn't think Mounier was going to be here for $34 million, right? So you didn't see that. And I think, you know, and we have Passan on our podcast, you know, 2 weeks
ago.
Great show,
by the way.
And he said, you know, they're not going to go out and win the World Series. And they're probably not even going to contend for the division. But you're moving in the right direction. And I think that gets around to other, like, agents. It gets around to players. It gets around to, you know, just the fans. And, it gets out there. And people are like, have a different perspective of who the White Sox are. So, and you can change that culture. You throw, and that's a buzzword, right? But like, you put a Will Venable in that clubhouse and it just changed everything, you know, and got rid of some of those players. Change. And people see that. And you see people having fun. And Getz isn't acting like he knows everything about everything, like maybe the previous administration did. You know, he knows he needs to hire somebody. Danny and Jacob, when we saw that, the one exec, Josh Barfield, is getting courted by another team, that was probably Kenny Williams' worst fear. Somebody's going to steal my guy. But this is something that you want. If you don't have somebody in the position that other teams want, why do you have them in that position? You know, like, they're not doing something right. Right? Like, everyone's like, oh, Rick Hahn. Everyone loved Rick Hahn. How many jobs has Rick Hahn since he left the White Sox? He's been on MLB Network like two times, I think. I think they throw you like a free hat and some coupons.
Don't
you
know, to, like, the MLB lottery host. Don't be throwing shade to the MLB draft lottery host, Rick Hahn. That's a big time job. Chicago White Sox general manager, that job.
Right there. The MC was Dan Plesac. And Plesac made the joke to Getz on MLB Tonight, you know, like just the other night. He was like, you know, how about that in that host? And he's like, oh, very important, Dan. Very important. Who was like, I mean, it's just these vibes, like us just laughing about shit right now. Could we have done this 2 years ago? Hell no. Like, we have Pedro.
Oh, we were salty.
We're going into like this crap, you know. And you're like, listen, it doesn't take a lot to get us excited, and that's kind of the problem with Sox fans. Like, you show us a little bit of shimmer, and we're just like, yes, this is gold. I know this is gold. Let's roll with it. So, Chris Getz is very measured, though. He doesn't sell things big. He didn't talk about, we owe the fans this, or we owe it to people to do this, or talk to me after the parade. None of that bullshit. He keeps it straight. And he's just like, listen, we got a lot of work to do, but we're seeing that things are working. You know, he was on a recap podcast and they were talking about the move, you know, putting Colson down to Arizona. And he's like, you know, they're like, we really like that move. And he's like, yeah, everyone likes it because it worked. But if it didn't work, it was the worst move. You know, it's just like this. That would have been horrible, right? But taking that risk and having it pay off and having Colson be who Colson is, who is another just amazing person. Like, I just love him. I love his attitude. I love all the Midwesternness about him. And he's just happy. So I just think that's, you know, you create a little bit of your own luck, as Aloha Mr. Hanna likes to say. You know, you get your own luck. You get the right people in there. And Getz has been doing.
Yeah, you got to rebuild the culture. And I mean, that's kind of what they've done, and it's working so far. I mean, all the rave reviews coming about Venable. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you there. I mean, it's going to take a process. And I mean, they've got a lot to prove to certain people, but it certainly looks like it's pointing up.
Yeah, it's going the right way.
Yeah, and there's that C word again. It's now come up twice or three times at tonight's show, culture, where, you know, you talk about being able to laugh and joke, and we've been able to do this 2 years ago. Well, when that word came up 2 years ago, it had a completely different meaning.
Hell yeah.
It had a completely different feeling when we talked about culture. The culture was awful, and it was almost like a punch in the gut every time somebody brought it up. That word was like, oh, like, you know, nah, I'm gnashing my teeth, and you know, everything that we brought up about it was so tongue in cheek just to be able to stomach talking about it. So, I mean, it's huge. And what Getz has done, what Venable's been able to do with the clubhouse, you know, what the team is doing pretty much across the board, you know, bringing us up to par with staffing and bringing us up to par with tech and analytics and all the guys that they talk about now that are in the, you know, biomechanics, and they're looking at ways to keep this team healthier, which, yeah, you know, again, that was another one of those words when you talked about health, you were like, oh Jesus. You know, I don't know if we'll ever get on the track as, you know, the great one. Oh my goodness. Where
Herm? Who is our,
yes, thank you. Herm Schneider. Wow,
yep.
I'm telling you, man.
It's okay. It was like, it's okay.
Out there. But we're old, yeah, dude.
We forget shit.
When Herm Schneider was here, I mean, I think the Sox had the, you know, there was probably a lot of luck involved, but it seemed like they knew what they were doing as well, too. There was just a run of so many years where they were like the least injured team by a long shot. And yep. And we went the exact opposite direction for so long. And it's just nice to feel like things are moving in a direction that feels right, even if we're not seeing full-on results as of yet, where we're not getting, you know, 90-100 wins in the W column, but we're seeing progress and growth. And to me, that's at the stage that we're in right now is about the best you can ask for.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a Pedro Grafal Sox Fest panel? That'd be something interesting. There's some nightmare fuel for you when you go to sleep tonight. Think about that.
I don't think I want to. But that's,
I hope you point. Do. Hopefully there's a report tomorrow.
Just sure.
Pedro Grafal was in my nightmares.
Sure. It'll be lengthy. I'll give you about, I don't know, 140 characters on Twitter.
There you go. And probably a sweet gif.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll find something to go with it. There was another move that we should probably get into recently. We do know that the White Sox made a trade, and they were able to pick up another pitcher that, you know, I don't know where you guys are on this one. I know where I'm at, but I'd love to hear from you guys, where some people are like, great move, and other people are like, eh, not so much. But then if you look at the prospect they picked up along the way, now you start to maybe change the feel of that and what Getz feels like he can get out of this prospect down the road. And then, of course, the one thing that a lot of people aren't talking about right now is the players to be named later. And I don't know if you guys have, you know, really paid much attention to that, but how often do you see multiple players to be named later where there's one going away from us, but we're getting two back?
Yeah.
In that deal. So, I mean, you know, me and MSS have been talking a lot here, Jacob. I want to get your thoughts on the Hicks and Sandlin move.
It's fun. I mean, they both throw really hard. Apparently, Hicks is going to go in the bullpen, which is awesome. Like, if that's truly the role he's going to go back to, great. He sucks as a starter. Like, I just think like that's kind of his thing. And, like, that's fine. Like, some guys are just bullpen only. Ask Michael Kopech. So, you know, if he's going to get that velocity back up, right, you know, into triple digits, sure. If he doesn't and he sucks, oh well. You did this for the prospect anyway. I think anything you get out of Jordan Hicks is house money at this point. So, sure, if he's going to be a decent reliever, that'd be awesome. If not, oh well. I don't know. I think it creates some interesting issues for you in the bullpen, especially when you start looking at those Rule of Five guys. But, yeah, it could be really interesting down the stretch here to see how they manage kind of this 40-man roster thing.
How about you got? Oh, God.
I think that, like, Getz definitely sees him coming out of the bullpen, and which is fine. And I think he probably will see that, too. And the Sox have just a good track record now with getting these guys in and kind of convincing them that, like, hey, you're good at this, and then telling them why they're good at it, and this is what we want you to do. And they're getting buy-ins from these guys, which I think is amazing, because most of these guys want to be starters. They're like, because starter money is a hell of a lot better than reliever money. You know, but like, you know, if you can go in and be a badass reliever, you know, you might end up with the Los Angeles Dodgers and win a fucking World Series, you know, like go from the worst team in baseball and go over to the Dodgers and win a goddamn World Series. So it can happen. So, I mean, that's a good success story. But yeah, I like it. He, like Jacob said, they both throw hard, and this guy could come in And you don't know, like, maybe you stretch them out. Maybe you do middle relief. We got a shitload of lottery tickets right now in arms. And we're gonna scratch off all these things, or we're going to do pull tabs. Dan, you're probably more familiar with pull tabs. and like, we're going to sit there and just crack them and just see what happens and see what comes out. And then that's what you got to do. Like, we were talking about this on the podcast last week. This is not the old Sox of old where they had one option or two options. This is like, let's get 19 options and see what works. You know, why are we using spring training to invite people we know that already have a job? Why don't we bring some people in, make it competitive, and see what happens? Like, you know, we haven't heard about some of the starting pitchers that we were looking forward to a couple of years ago. Jonathan Cannon, haven't heard a whimper of his name. You know, like, what is going on with Jonathan Cannon? You know, like, you just don't hear a lot of that, and they're like pushing you to the new stuff. So I think that everything's up for grabs at this point. I think Shane Smith has got a starting job, obviously. But like, beyond that, like, these guys are going to be fighting for position out there, and it's going to be fun. And that's healthy, and it's good for us fans too to watch that stuff. You need to see these guys come out. So I'm stoked. You always just get more out there and see what you can get from them. So I trust our pitching development guys. I trust these guys, like, probably more than I should. But they've just had a little bit of a success in picking up these guys and getting them into their system and fitting into their thing. Eric Fetty, you know, like, and, you know, we'll see how Jonathan Kay goes. It's gonna be interesting. So let's see how this works out.
It's crazy that, like, saying the words "trusting the White Sox development" isn't like a crazy,
right?
Thing anymore. I know. Wicked take. It's not anymore.
On the pitching side, they've been pretty okay for a while, right? I mean, maybe it's not development. They've been good at drafting in that department for sometimes, it feels like. So,
and it's getting the last juice out of the box. You know, they've done that. Well, they did Johnny Cueto, for Christ's sake. What the fuck? Like, that guy fell off the mountain right after that.
Huh? It worked while he was here.
It did. So I mean,
Clevinger worked the first year. Keyword there is the first year.
Yeah,
like Hauser last year. Like, yeah, they've done it with like weird vets sometimes. Where they've got it to click.
Yeah, so and you know, and some of these guys, you're only hoping to get enough out of them to, you know, get you through, eat some innings early on, and if you can get some value out of them at the trade deadline, flip them up, see what you got. Let's get some younger arms with less mileage on them, or a position player that maybe can swing it a little bit, because, you know, Lord knows this team has been dying for it. And now we actually have some guys who can put the ball over the fence, which should have been a thing for a long time in the stadium that we play in. I heard somebody mention it at the, you know, the game, or I'm sorry, at 108 Fest the other night. And, you know, we talk about, you know, guys, you know, bending it around the foul pole out there, hopefully out in section 108. But the reality is this, it's a ballpark that's meant for balls to go out of it, especially during the summer months when the wind is kind of shifted and the air is a little bit, you know, not quite as cold and crisp. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with some of these young guys. Colson Montgomery is going to go out there. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to continue to hit bombs. I think he's going to take the next step where we're going to see the Colson Montgomery who was able to take walks and select pitches and have an on-base percentage that was much better than it was last season and still be able to produce those big monster home runs. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised. Murakami, I mean, let's be honest. You know, there's swing and miss issues that people have concerns about from him coming over. But, you know, I don't think it's really going to matter whether or not his defense is perfect at first base if he's hitting 30-plus bombs, which he's more than capable of doing. I mean, if Andrew Vaughn could have hit, you know, over what it was, his best year was like 21. Yeah. If he could have hit over 21 every single year and play the, you know, the half-ass defense that he played over there, he might still be on the south side.
He could be.
So, you know, you can throw those concerns out the window. I think the big thing is this team's going to produce some runs this year, and I'm here for it, man. I am so here for it. So, Do you guys have anything you want to add about the off season and recent developments? No.
No, I mean, I think I've been very long-witted, Jacob. What you got? Anything coming out of that nice little floppy mop you got on top of your head there? I love it.
Vassal coming out of the. I don't know how to respond to that. It just threw me off.
We've been lulling him to sleep.
Getting it's been crazy. Vassal getting looks at being the five starter could be interesting. I don't know. He had an interesting role as a long reliever last year. Mm-hmm. They're kind of going to have those guys as like long relievers already. Like I think Weekelman can go multiple innings. Grant Taylor can go multiple innings. I think they want both of the – I shouldn't say both the guys. Paez, I think they want to be a multi-inning reliever. So, I don't know. Vassal as a five starter could be fun, but we'll see. But other than that, I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
Right on. I have been asking the question for the longest time, and I don't think I'm going to ask it to our guest this week because, you know, up until this point where we had signed Austin Hayes and got an actual outfielder, the question was what is your favorite or what is your, you know, your idea of the best defensive alignment or just the best alignment of outfielders? And I don't think I want to ask that question this week because we've had so much fun. And that's just a punch in the gut kind of question when you try to fucking put it all together. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, is it Benintendi? Is it, you know, Brooks Baldwin? Is it Austin Hayes? Is it Pereira? Is it Acuna? Like, there's so many names out there. I really don't want to do that exercise anymore. It's an exercise of futility at this point, if you ask me. I don't know. But
and some of that, there's some upside to that too, Danny, because like, then you have options. You know, like if one of these guys doesn't work out, we know that Brooks Baldwin is serviceable at center field, right? Like, so if you bring up Acuna and he's not doing it, like, or you don't put him in that position, you know, you let Brooks start there and put him in right. But now you got Hayes. So it's looking better than it was a week ago. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
Less chaos-y.
You're absolutely right. There are options. I mean, we talked about Derek Hill in the past year. We've talked about Emerson Pereira. There's guys. So it's just.
I see one of your guys, Uncle Ted, here is saying they have no options and the outfield is really bad. That's not really what I wasn't saying that they were a good outfield.
Yeah, nobody's saying that.
If one guy goes down, there's more people that will come up and at least play the outfield serviceably. I'm not saying they're gonna become, they're not gold glovers out there and they're gonna hit like a ton of bombs, but they're at least, we're not gonna be like, well, you know, maybe Jacob May will come up and play outfield for us, you know. Like guy that couldn't get a hit for like,
this is better than seeing Vaughn and Sheets out there. And as much as I like Gavin Sheets, but a guy had cement boots.
Yeah,
he looked like a Clydesdale that was, you know, kind of lacking the speed.
You didn't enjoy Ryan Noda playing right field last year for the season?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, great stuff.
That was my favorite moment of the season, as a matter of fact.
I could probably get you Ryan Noda's jersey, Jacob. I'll get it for you. When I find it, I will give it to you.
I was kind of missing Popeye last year. I'm not gonna lie. Like Fletcher with his giant forearms out there would have been a lot more fun than any of that stuff. But yeah. So I mean, we're pretty much at the hour mark here. And you know, I want to get your hot takes and heaters from you guys, but really quickly, again, this is our second installment in the bingo card series. And we just wanted to have some fun and give some folks a reason to follow along. I know MSS, I let you know ahead of time, so I'm pretty sure you probably have something prepared for us to add a square to the bingo card.
So when you say...
But I want to let... Okay. Well, hang on. I want to let our listeners know that they can also get involved. I put out a tweet on Future Sox earlier today about... if you guys are fans and you think you have a bingo card square that would go out there and we can put on... what we're really looking for here is something that, it could be fun. It could be serious. It could be, you know, wild, whatever it is, but we don't want something that's going to pop up like within the first day of baseball season. It might, you know, but we're not looking for that. We're looking for something to kind of keep an eye on for a good chunk of the season. I want to let the listeners know we're not looking for your predictions on the win loss record at the end of the year. It's a bingo card, you know, something we want. We're looking for something specific to happen. that we can come on the show and spend 2-3 minutes when it does happen at the beginning of the show and say, hey, did you catch that? So having said that, sorry, MSS, you know, you sounded like you were ready to jump right in on that. So why don't you go ahead and
you explained it, what I was going to ask. And I think I've been floating a couple different numbers. And I think I started at 60 and I was like, all right, let's take it down. And so then I went to 30, which was half. And then I was like, 30 might be too much too. Maybe I should go to 20. But I don't want to live that way because our old guy, Paul DeJong, hit 14 home runs in 102 games for the Chicago White Sox. So I'm thinking, let's make it fun. Let's do 26. Mune is going to hit 26 home runs next year for the Chicago White Sox. So that's going to be a square on there. That at least take us to All-Star break, if not past that. Like, I don't know if he's going to come out, like, just blowing the world on fire. You know, like, it's just going to be crazy. But I think 26 is a pretty good number.
Fantastic. You know what I mean?
It would be great, right? But, like, I think it's an attainable number. And, like I said, if Paul DeJong can hit fucking 18 or 14 – in 102 games, that's pretty good. I think he can do 12 more than that. So 26 home runs from Mune on bingo card.
Awesome. I will take it. Jake, you write that down?
I did.
Right on.
Throw that on there for sure. Good one.
I do like it because I do think it is attainable before the season ends, and it'll be something that, again, we won't have to expect it. He's not going to hit 26 on opening day, so.
No.
That'd be a lot of it.
Can't just happen that day. Ian's got a question with the new about new metal. I'm not a really big great in his – well, his question just went up on me. But he said, new metal GOAT, when – there is a moment before. Okay, who is your favorite new metal band? And there's so many to choose from, and I think it just depends on what type of mood I'm in when it hits. But like Limp Bizkit is very consistent. Will like get me excited and whatever. I like them a lot. I like Puddle of Mud, which is just
step away for just a second, guys. Sorry,
it's just so gross. Like Jacob, you probably don't even know Puddle of Mud. They're not good. But like, yeah, this is, I'm going to have to go with Limp Bizkit, but, Puddle Mud's right there too. Like I'll throw them on every once in a while just to get back to that new metal stuff. I was listening to Incubus today. And I don't know, you probably don't know them either, Jacob, but like,
no idea.
Incubus is just like a step above new metal. They should be considered new metal. And that would be the one I would go with as probably my favorite of all time if they were new metal, but I do not think that they count as new metal, unfortunately. So I have to go with Limp Bizkit.
Good answer.
Does Danny just walk away from the show on you all the time?
Yeah, sometimes. We normally put the Eloy Jimenez thing up with the red gloves and the dugout.
Okay.
Hopefully he's all right. Anyway, let's get to your hot takes and eaters because – Danny's gone. What is your hot take or heater for either the season or here in a little bit?
My hot take, I think, for the season is going to be, man. Oh, I'm going to check one thing here. I don't remember exactly how many wins Shane Smith got last year. What he got, 7 wins.
This is fun.
Shane Smith is going to win 15 games for the Chicago White Sox this year. He's going to double his win total this year. I can see it. I know it's going to happen. I think Shane Smith, 14 game winner, Danny. That's my hot take for 2026.
I love Shane Smith. And I think, I don't know if that's a hot take. I think that's probably more of a heater. Cause I don't think you're far off. I think the guy's got, he's got some good stuff, man.
He does. And he's just an all around, like, seemed like a very nice guy with the brief interaction that I had with him while he signed. We had a game, he pitched the bobblehead game day for us. And I was like, you pitched this ball. He's like, really? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, where do you want me to sign it? And I was like, sweet spot. You think I'm going to get anybody else to fucking sign this? Like, no, I want you. You're it. You're the only one. So big shout out to Kier for giving me that one. K-Dog, Matt Ramsey. Yeah, give me that ball. But it was like, gotta put that up there.
Uncle Ted says Hagen Smith for an all-star this year. That's
dude's not even up.
I was gonna say, for a guy that's not even up, I will say that's a hot pick. But
that's a very,
I mean, I'm here
saying that. That's nuclear. That's fucking nuclear. That's not even hot. That's nuclear right. at this point.
I'm here for it if it happens, man. I really
man.
So what about you, Mr. Thom? What is your hot take for the ore heater for the day? Are you going to change it up? Are you going to stick with Old Faithful?
I'm changing it up because I don't think they're going to sign anybody else.
Are you sure?
Hot take. Yeah.
I don't feel like they're done, but that's just me.
They could sign a starter. In that case, I'm wrong. I just don't love the vibes. It's a vibe-based pick, vibe-based show. give vibes me... no first baseman. There aren't a ton to choose from. No first baseman play out of position this entire season. That's not including Miguel Vargas or anything like that. The first baseman stay at first base. I don't even know if we have a backup.
I was gonna say who? Who? You got
if Mooney, that's Mooney. A bad one because like Elko's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that was a bad one.
You're not throwing. Just, I got Elko Ryan Noda left or right.
I mean, you got Mooney. Vargas could play there, I guess. Sosa has played there, not fantastically.
So you're not putting Sosa anywhere other than right there, right?
Right. Like, yeah, no. We'll go a White Sox reliever has over 15 saves this year. I like that one.
Okay.
I don't even know if that's the right number, but we'll go 15.
Anyway. I would actually take the over on that.
Now yeah, so do I.
Have I think it's like Anthony 20, Dominguez but... and a team that doesn't quit.
And that would be double the leader last year.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So yeah, I mean yeah. We're on the same plane here, Jacob. Like we're picking the one the highest the peak, and we're like, we're doubling that shit. Like, I mean, I think that is more of a hot take than a heater, Mr. Miller. So I don't know.
Hey, that's fine. We'll take either one, a hot take or a heater.
What about you?
I'm going to stick with my heater that I've been going with for a good portion of the offseason here, and I'm going to give Chris Getz his flowers. The man just continues to surprise just about everybody in White Sox fandom, and I think even a lot of organizations might have been surprised by what Chris Getz has gone out and been willing to do and some of the deals that he's made, and I'm here for it. So kudos to you, Chris Getz. I was tough on him early on in his tenure only because I think I have to blame Jerry Reinsdorf for this more than Chris Getz. When Jerry Reinsdorf came out and said, I owe it to the fans to not do this full-on GM job search and give it to Chris Getz because he's going to be the guy that knows the team and can turn it around rather quickly. And the quick hasn't happened, but I will say this, it's been done the right way.
Yeah.
So kudos to Chris Getz. Again, that's my heater.
Awesome.
All right. I think that about does it, man. We'll put a bow on it right there. First things first, I would love to absolutely thank MSS for coming in. I didn't mention this earlier, but James Fox, I said last week, was actually going to be my co-host this week, and it did not work out due to some unforeseen circumstances. So
yeah.
We will have James on coming up here sometime in the very near future, but MSS was willing and able to jump in short notice, and it is much appreciated. And it's been a fantastic time talking with you, sir. So thank you.
Anytime, Danny and Jacob. Nice to meet you. And I wore my hat backwards for James because I know he likes to do that. When he gets serious, he puts that shit backwards. So that's why I did my little homage
to James.
Whatever the fuck it is, you know, it's homage, homage. You know, I know how to spell it. Don't know how to say it. Which doesn't happen a lot, but it did tonight. So thank you, guys. It was a fun conversation.
Nah, it really was, and we appreciate you, man. And then the next thing is I would, always, as always, love to thank our chatters. You guys are awesome. We didn't get to a lot of the questions tonight, and that was just because we had a good, really free-flowing conversation going. We were not ignoring you guys. I did see a lot of it, but I did not want to kill the vibe. It was awesome, so... Again, always a big shout out to our chatters and our live viewers. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate the support. As a reminder, super chats are always open when we are live. If you cannot financially support us with a super chat, we understand. But go ahead, and if you like the content, please give us a like. Smash that like button. Break your keyboard. Subscribe. Do all that stuff that helps us get the views and the algorithm. Especially these days. I mean, that helps more than anything with all the AI crap that's out there right now. So,
hell yeah.
Jump on that stuff, guys. We would really, really appreciate it. As always, if you are looking for some of our written content, you can find that on... we post most of it on Twitter/X, but you can also find that at futuresocks.net, as well as our exclusive content for a $2 a month Patreon subscription. All of our shows are also going to be able to be found there. We have Ian and James most Sunday nights. We've got the Future Socks Roundup with Elijah and Dylan and Jeff. So check that out. But again, every little bit of support is appreciated. You guys have a wonderful evening. It's been fantastic talking with MSS tonight. Just remember that we are all White Sox fans, even if we don't agree on everything. We're all here for the same reason. So we love you guys. Until next time, we will see you here next Wednesday. And as always, go White Sox.
Peace.
Stuck with a high-maintenance credit card rate? This new year, it's time to break up. Transfer your balance to CME Federal Credit Union and enjoy 3% APR for 12 months. New year, better vibes, big savings. You deserve a wallet that loves you back. Make an appointment today with your neighbors at CME Federal Credit Union and transfer your high-maintenance credit card balance and save. Terms and conditions apply. New balances only, 5% balance transfer fee. Visit CMEFCU.org for details.